Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled Vision Renewal, Greater Faith. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Resting in the promise that the one who has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the one to whom we confess our fears and our failures. So let us together as a congregation confess, saying, Gracious God and Father, in Jesus Christ, you have called us to be your people. Yet as we come into your presence in worship, we confess that we have fallen far short of your glory. We humbly confess our sin of selfishness, which keeps us from helping others, our sin of self-sufficiency, which keeps us from letting others help us, our sin of pride, which keeps us from turning to you. Take away our love of sinning, and by your tender mercies, restore us to the hope and joy of our salvation. These and all things we pray together and in silence of our hearts, in Jesus' name. Hear these words of assurance written by the Apostle Peter. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. As we remain standing, let us together affirm our faith through the words of the Confession of 1967. In Jesus Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Jesus Christ is God with man. He is the eternal Son of the Father, who became man and lived among us to fulfill the work of reconciliation. He is present in the church by the power of the Holy Spirit, to continue and complete his mission. Therefore, the church calls all men and women to be reconciled to God and to one another. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. We'll be reading from chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be the way, our way of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second lesson comes from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the second chapter, and we hear him say, "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Amen. If you have been with us in worship the past couple of weeks, you know that we are revisiting the vision renewal statement, which we wrote in 2016 on the 50th anniversary of the Metropolitan Community Program Report, which was written in 1966, which really was influential in the decision to keep TAB here in place at 34th and Central. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the opening part of that statement as it spoke to us of the Old Testament concept of the year of Jubilee. Last week, Terry preached on the essential nature of reconciliation. And this morning, we are going to look at the first of three visions, or the three legs of this statement, that being greater faith. And so, preparing ourselves for that, let us pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of worship this day, for the privilege to come into your presence, to be among this people for this purpose, to sit beneath the teaching of your word, to be renewed and refreshed by your sacrament. We would pray, O Lord, now that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight. For this we pray, to your honor and glory, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Reading from the vision renewal statement, I quote, "TAB will be a place where people are challenged to grow stronger in faith, to become equipped to serve and to pursue opportunities for innovative and collaborative service. We will be a resource for kingdom seekers who want to increase their connection to God, to provide opportunities for individual and congregational growth, and to support those opportunities with biblical teaching, worship, and prayer. TAB will prepare its people to be more Christ-like through applied knowledge and engaged learning that results in continually deepening faith and a foundation for serving God and the world." End quote. It's appropriate that this first vision is grounded in our desire for greater faith, because faith establishes the foundation of everything else that we would assume or prepare to do or say in this place and in the world as a church. Specifically, faith in the God who is revealed to us in Jesus Christ and who continues to be with us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is faith that commands us and compels us not only to do what we do in here, but also the good kingdom-building work that we do out there in this community and around the world. But I'd like to talk with you a little bit this morning about what exactly do we mean when we talk about faith, that which we say we desire to have more of. Most simply, it is our trust or our confidence in God and the working out of his purposes in the world. Simply put, we want TAB to be a place where people, where you and I, can grow in our trust, in our confidence in God. So faith used in this way is something more than merely acceptance of or a tacit agreement with one another about certain theological principles that we might toss out. It applies some kind of an action. It implies some kind of a response on our part. The first example that comes to mind for me is that I can know all about airplanes. I can know all about the aerodynamic design or structure of the plane. I can fully believe that airplanes fly, but then it takes another something for me to actually get onto an airplane, to trust that it could hold me, carry me. In a similar way, I can know all about God. I can have a PhD in God. I can say all the creeds. I can nod my head in agreement with all that is being taught about him. But the real test of faith for us comes when I put my trust, my confidence in his promises. When I'm willing to allow my life, my will, to be shaped by his life and his will in me. Ultimately, it is confidence and trust for my salvation. And this is what we're saying in our vision renewal report, that this is what we want more of: greater faith, greater confidence, greater trust in God. And we want TAB to be a place where we can help people grow in that way. Now, the irony of all this is that this desire is unlike any other pursuit that we have in life, because it's not something that we can simply muster up for ourselves. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, I would say one of the greatest 10 verses in all of Scripture, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, lest anyone should boast." That is, we can't make ourselves have faith, nor can we make anyone else have faith. God is always the giver. We are always the receivers. But we can desire it. We can ask for it. And we can ask for more of it, because faith is something that God wants to give to us. God wants to respond, or wants us to respond, to the love which he has first given to us. God desires to be in a relationship with us, and we with him, such that we will want to grow, to see him more clearly, love him more dearly, follow him more nearly day by day. So while we can't produce faith in ourselves, there are things that we can do to ready ourselves to receive it, or then to help it grow, and grow it must for our sakes and for God's sake, because this is what God intends for us. He has work that he wants us to do and wants to prepare us and use us in that work. In this passage from Ephesians, it ends by saying, "We are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Paul in Philippians says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." That is, we want to grow in faith because our growth pleases God. So how do we do that? If TAB is committed to being a place where people grow in their faith, gain greater faith, greater confidence, greater trust in God, what exercises can we do to firm up these muscles of which we speak? And the first among many is worship. Exactly what we are doing today. This is the essential. Here we are reminded of who we are and whose we are, of what God is calling us to do and be as people seeking after God's heart, people committed to his kingdom-building purposes. We can't find a sense of meaning, of purpose, of identity in ourselves alone, but in God alone. Augustine famously quoted saying, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee, O Lord." At one point in her career, Madonna, the pop singer, was interviewed after a concert in London about her personal spirituality. Listen to an excerpt from that interview from the London Sunday Times. The interviewer asks, "When you gathered your dancers around you during the Blonde Ambition tour to pray before going on stage, who were you praying to?" "Who was I praying to?" she repeats, kind of stalling for time. "Everyone in the room. and my idea of God. Is there a God? Well, yes, she replies quickly, there is my God. Everyone has their own God. Tell me about him, asked the interviewer. I can't describe him, she said. You have a good idea, though. Yes, her voice rather strained and quiet. To me, sometimes, I don't know if it's a being or more like a highest state of my consciousness, like trying to rise above everyday life and the things that bring you down and morality and things like that. It's like calling on any power I have inside myself. It's a protector, an advisor. It's soothing, comforting. It's non-judgmental. But it is a supreme being? I don't know. You know, I really have unformed ideas about it because I could change my mind about it in about a half an hour. I think religion should be a very personal thing. It's what you get your strength from. So it's an inner matter rather than an organized religion? Yeah, I think so, she said, almost whimpering. You know, it may seem comforting to us at first to have our own sense of who God is, a God that we can change our ideas about God in every half hour or so. It may even seem convenient to create a God in our own image and making that we can ask to bow to our whims and desires, but that is, in the end, no God at all, and certainly no source of vitality or security in our times of need. Friends, we come to worship because we know, or at least we need to be reminded, that the self is a very small package in which to find ultimate meaning. While self-talk is always beneficial to some degree, it is insufficient to address our real needs. Praying to ourselves simply will not suffice. So we come to worship because, as the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. We come to worship to be shaped, to be formed, to be reminded of the one in whom we live and move and have our being. We come because we know we need more of him and less of ourselves. A second practice which might be useful to us to help us grow in faith is our commitment to the regular study of Scripture. And I would add into that the regular study of Scripture with others. If we want to know more about God, if we want to grow in our understanding and our relationship with God, I need to read his word. I need to listen to the sound of his voice. I need to learn of his character and learn to trust in his promises. And I have found that I am best able to do that in the company of others. This came out this past Wednesday morning at the pastor's Bible study, which, by the way, you're all invited to. It's not just for pastors. It is a pastor's Bible study for us. As we were visiting, I said, when I read Scripture all by myself, I find that my insights are rather routine. I'd even say shallow. And curiously, I always agree with myself. But when I read Scripture, when I study or discuss Scripture with others, I glean insights that I never would have come up with on my own, even from and perhaps particularly from those with whom I might often disagree on some matters. So I will commend to you a regular study of Scripture with others. A third exercise to help us grow in faith is a regular practice of prayer. And this, too, I would commend with others. Every Tuesday evening, we have a group that gathers not to talk about prayer, but to pray. And we would love to have you join us for that. As in any relationship, conversation with God helps us to get to know him better. I know the Apostle Paul wrote that we should be continually in prayer, which sounds like hours on end. That's not what I'm commending or recommending. Years ago, someone coined the phrase conversational prayer, meaning a daily, ongoing conversation with God as you go through your day, as you might with a traveling companion or a close friend. As I practice this form of prayer, it always seems like I'm starting with, I'm doing all the talking, And I'm just hoping, assuming, praying that God is actually listening to me. But the more we engage in this kind of practice of prayer, this daily consciousness of God's presence with us, invariably it becomes a dialogue as God speaks, as I learn to listen. I know one gentleman who spends much of his day simply being in conversation with God, talking, laughing, listening, and I envy the friendship that they have. Another valuable practice to help us grow in our faith is good fellowship with one another, other fellow followers of Jesus. Their faith, your faith, invariably helps to strengthen, encourage, even inspire my faith. We were not designed to do this life of faith alone, but with others. The story is told of two men who were sitting around a campfire visiting one evening. The one turned to the other and said, "You know, I've decided I don't really need to go to church anymore. I never really seem to get much out of it." And with that, without saying a word, his friend stood up, lifted a burning log out of the fire, and placed it on the ground. The two watched as the flames died out and the log began to grow cold. With that, again, without even saying a word, he picked up the log, put it back into the fire, and they watched as it burst into flames. His friend turned to him and said, "Point well taken." Well, friends, we need one another. I need you to help me grow in my faith, just as you may say you need me and we need one another to grow in your faith. We need one another. The last encouragement I'll give to you, and there are certainly many more, in fact, I would love if you would let me know those practices that you do to help you grow in faith. But the last encouragement I'll give you is to find some avenue of service, some way to test your faith, some way to put your faith into action. Recall, we started by saying that faith is more than just nodding our heads in agreement with some theological principle or tenet. It's acting in confidence, in trust. It's working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It's doing the good work which God has called and prepared us to do. Do you remember hearing stories about the famous tightrope walker Blondin? He would boast of doing remarkable feats of daring, like walking across Niagara Falls or between high buildings, and then he'd actually go ahead and do them just to show that he wasn't bragging. One day, after performing some incredible high wire act, he turned to the gathered crowd and said, "Today I am going to push a man across the wire in a wheelbarrow. Do you believe I can do it?" And the crowd shouted, "Yes, yes, do it." And with that, Blondin turned to one enthusiastic gentleman and said, "Good, then you are the man. Get in the wheelbarrow." And in that instant, the man was called to take his interest, his enthusiasm, and put it into action. Confidence, trust, faith. You see, faith is so much more a verb than it is a noun. Something we do, not just something we say, we believe. So to act in faith is to do something for God that you would not dare to do if God were not in it. What might that be for you? What might God be calling you, asking you to do that would require some act of faith on your part? That may not be as daring as stepping into a wheelbarrow, but I can't help but think that there is something, and my guess is that even my asking the question may bring that something to mind, something that you've intended to do for God but have been hesitant or fearful to do it. Perhaps if you know the work of Jim Collins, the business guru, you have a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal that you have not done but would do if you were convinced that God was really calling you to do that. There are many TAB stories of individuals who have taken that kind of leap of faith and are doing still remarkable ministries in his name. Or perhaps you're being prompted to be less daring, but every bit as much dependent on this nudge of God to do some act of service. Maybe it's volunteering at the Open Door Cafe. Maybe it is tutoring one of our students. Maybe it's volunteering at one of our partner ministries. Maybe it's walking across the street and inviting a neighbor or a friend to join you in worship. Maybe it's giving them a call, writing them a note. Maybe it's asking their forgiveness. There are countless numbers of ways that we can exercise and respond to this call of God in our lives. And my guess is, given the season ahead of us, both yours and mine, that there will be countless opportunities for us to step up and step out, to test and grow in our faith, in our trust and confidence of God. And I am so grateful that TAB has that vision to be a place and a people where that can happen, to the honor and glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we hear your call and confess it's hard to say yes to you. It seems too risky, too daring, asking too much of us. And yet, Lord, if we know that you are in it, that it is you who is calling us, inviting us, nudging us, we would pray today for the courage. We would pray today for the confidence, for the trust. We would pray today for greater faith to follow where you lead us. To your honor and glory, Lord, hear our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name.
You're listening to Sunday with TAB, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the TAB podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, TAB Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with TAB.
I ask that they might all be one.
Pastor John Gable of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
This was the great prayer for unity that Jesus prayed for his disciples. Unity is at the heart of his desire for us today. But how can this be when God's people are so different, distinct, and separated from one another? This is the miracle of God's work in the church. It is our common faith in Jesus that brings us together now and always. Rather than focusing on those things that divide the body of Christ, it is our desire at TAB to focus on the one who unites us. We invite you to experience this unity in Christ for yourself by visiting us in person or at tabpres.org.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with TAB, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.